This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Rachel Lomoski, a chief data scientist for Flux, a company that looks at responsible AI, meaning how are we using this wonderful new tool? My companion is named Claude. This is Anthropic. There are other choices, so I'll mention Claude frequently because I'm learning from Claude his or her or its limits and its ambitions. Rachel, wonderful to speak of a topic suggested by an MIT Media Lab paper. Long title, Your Brain on ChatGPT, Accumulation of Cognitive Debt When Using an AI Assistant for Essay Writing Task, end quote. Needs an interpretation, but in my understanding is this is a study. 54 participants, age 18 to 39, from MIT, Wellesley, Harvard, Tufts, and Northeastern, the greater Boston area. Three sessions spanning 3 months in which the participants were asked to write an essay of their choice and then to be divided into groups using or not using or thinking about using different aspects of online information. How were the groups divided up and what is the ambition of this study? Good evening to you, Rachel.
Hello. Pleasure to be here. Yeah, so there were three groups, each participant was randomly assigned. One group was what they called the LLM only. Those were the ChatGPT users. And they were only allowed to use ChatGPT. They didn't have access to anything else on the internet. There was also what they called the search engine only group, another group of 18. And they were just given a web browser and allowed to search as they like, but were not allowed to use an LLM. And the third was the old-fashioned brain-only, no browser, no LLM. All right. And as you said, they were given a choice of essay topics and given only 20 minutes to write it. So they met three times, 1 month apart, and then a small subset of them also came back for a fourth session.
And the results are various, and we'll get immediately, because common sense would say, ChatGPT is a helpmate. Using the web, that is a searching online, is not necessarily writing it for you. It's just giving you documents if you can't remember what year something happened. And then brain only would require preparation. So the results, drum roll, what did they find? Because they were asking different questions. What did they find in the results?
Yeah, as you said, it's pretty much common sense. So the LLM users, in all the methods they were scoring them, including brain activity, homogeneity, human scoring of the essays, were the least diverse, least brain engaged. People were less likely to recall exact quotes from their essays later. The human-only, more diversity in the vocabulary and in the structure, more diversity in the topics, how they were talking about them. People were more likely to be able to quote, and there was more brain activity, and the browsers groups were somewhere in the middle.
Everything gets reduced for me to Time Machine by H.G. Wells. Everything. Life. Divide people into Eloy and Morlocks. That's how I think of myself. And I spend my day on the margin between the two of them. Immediately comes to mind is the Eloy. I see they're the product of Claude and ChatGPT because they ate fruit and knew to go back to their broken dome at night so they wouldn't be eaten by the Morlocks. If you all recall the H.G. Wells movie immediately, or the several movies on this topic. However, there's more that I learned from your essay about this. First of all, it's a small study. I understand that. And it's choosing students who were already chosen by filter, some of whom would have had great skill in writing an essay. but we'll concentrate on the ChatGPT, saying less brain activity. That means they were cutting and pasting. That means they were copying. That means they didn't come up with original ideas. What does that mean in the study?
Yeah, so they were actually not, at least the paper doesn't specify exact ways that they should be using the LLM. They were just given free rein. And of course, they were only given 20 minutes to write an essay, which doesn't give one a huge amount of time to revise it and do an in-depth study. And they were also not given access to the internet, right? So as we know, all LLMs, including ChatGPT and Claude, can hallucinate, might give you references that you want to go deeper into, and they weren't allowed to do that, right? So all they were allowed to do was obviously use their own brains, but it just used whatever they wanted from the LLM without direction. So you would imagine that many of them, given that it was a relatively artificial situation of being in a lab with something on their head monitoring them and only given 20 minutes, they probably did a fair amount of copying and pasting and just getting things done as fast as they could. The paper actually does give very detailed results, but they did not talk to the people and they did not report the results of how they were actually using the LLMs.
I want to go to an example Rachel and I have discussed already of Claude and Claude's challenge to me about something I wrote very briefly. I didn't know Claude was going to challenge me by saying alternate versions. And unasked, Claude threw these up. The original written by myself, brain only, after a conversation, was this. It's right up for a podcast, so it's meant to be a presentation like a title and a subtitle. Preview, King Charles III. Colleague Gregory Copley presents the labor dispute over the king's scrupulous keeping of the gardens at Highgrove House. That's what I wrote. Unasked, Claude comes up with two other versions. Version one, preview, royal gardens dispute. Gregory Copley examines the labor conflict surrounding King Charles III's meticulous garden maintenance at Highgrove House. That's version one. Then this would be the tabloid version. Preview, Highgrove controversy. Defense and Foreign Affairs, Gregory Copley discusses the workplace dispute over the king's exacting standards for his Highgrove Gardens. Those are the two versions offered by Claude. Now, I admit, Rachel, I'm prejudiced because I wrote the first one, not the second two. But it strikes me that Claude is both wordy and inexact. How does it strike you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. So all of these large language models, including Claude, have templates for the structure, and they have vocabulary that they tend to use. And probably those words were ones that are, you know, used more in what the training data was, which is probably news articles, right, that are trying to stir up controversy. And so Claude thought, I know, I'll make this controversial. It will be more catchy.
And there's nothing I can do to control that. And he just offered it up, and I ignore it. But it occurs to me that this might be going on everywhere, and this study doesn't make that available to us, that the rewrite or the generation by Claude or ChatGPT is inferior to human experience. It hasn't lived a life in which the word scrupulous and the word meticulous have distinctly different intentions, and the nuance of those words are everything. Meticulous is judgmental in my interpretation. Scrupulous is saying you were an exacting worker. You were a careful worker. You perceived and you held others to standards. Does Claude know that? I don't know. Does the ChatGPT know things like that, to your experience, Rachel?
And all these models are trained roughly on word co-occurrence, right? And so, you know, if those words are used in different contexts, then it should know it. But that doesn't mean it's not doing it on purpose. Again, it's, you know, why it's picking a particular word is just probabilistic. As for like the intention and sentiment behind it, certainly less so.
Let's go to that word probabilistic. By that, you mean it's because of the way the large language model is generated. It is looking around for, in all the world, what word goes next. Is that what it does each time?
Yeah. What it's roughly doing is essentially ingesting training data, which is at the scale of things like Claude, many, many things from the internet, documents, movie scripts, right? Multimodal, what they call multimodal data, sound data, images, and training on which words go together, you know, close proximity into a sentence or perhaps further along, and then building trees on, oh, well, if this word is usually used with that other word, then I'll use them together. So it probably took the words like meticulous and scrupulous, and it was like, oh, meticulous and scrupulous. There are situations where one is used instead of the other. Those tend to go together in that they are in similar contexts and sentences, but of course they're used in different with different intentions.
And therein is the limitations of the large language model. Garbage in, garbage out. Does that apply, Rachel?
Oh, 100% applies, right? It's not just that garbage in, but you know, one of the newer worries now is that people are using Claude and other tools like that to generate more content on the internet, which will then be ingested more and will even strengthen, again, those probabilities that those words will be used together. There was just an article from the Max Planck Institute a couple days ago saying that these words that the large language models tend to use disproportionately, they're finding it in human speech as well. People using words in conversation that are the LLM favored words.
I'm speaking to Rachel Lomaske. We're talking about a new study at MIT Media Labs. And when I come back, something else I've discovered. Claude takes criticism, but he doesn't learn from it.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.